tuning in to the Next Level Church podcast. For more information, check out our website at nextlevelchurch.net.
Good morning. Great to see you guys. Very excited. Today we're going to conclude our series entitled Identity Discovery. And I want to invite all of you to make sure you get a little bit more out of what you're about to hear by checking out the free app called YouVersion. There's an event page on YouVersion, and we want you to do this because I don't want you just to sit there and miss what God might say to you. And one of the best ways not to miss it is to take some notes. And so we provide notes for you, electronic notes. There's also a poll in there, and all the scriptures I'm going to cover are in there as well. And so make sure, if you're a regular attender, go ahead and take out your smartphone or tablet. If you're new, follow the prompt on the screen, and you can follow along. Today is the conclusion of Identity Discovery. And what we've been talking about is that your identity is incredibly important because your identity is who you are. And if you don't know who you are, you don't know what your purpose is in this world. I am convinced that you were made not by an accident, but made on purpose and for a purpose. And when you discover your identity, it gives you a reason to live. It gives you a reason to wake up in the morning. And on week one of this series, 4 weeks ago, we talked about how your identity is formed by who or what you follow. That's really important for us as Christians because all humans follow something and find their identity in something. But as a Christian, we are called to find our identity in Jesus, to die to ourselves and to follow Jesus and ask him what he wants us to do. On week two, we talked about how your job is a place for your identity to shine, not to be discovered. And it is so easy to find your identity in your job because you spend over 40 hours a week at your job. But your job should reflect what God is doing on the inside of you. Specifically, that when you go to work, you should work as if you're working unto the Lord. And so you shouldn't be working just for a paycheck or working for praise of a boss. You should be working as if working unto God. And if you miss either of these or any of weeks in the series, you can check out our podcast at nextlevelchurch.net or you can go to iTunes. It's on there as well. Last week, we talked about how powerful words are and how not everyone speaks encouraging words over us. Sometimes people speak hurtful words, and sometimes it's not even words that other people speak, but it's the words that we speak over ourselves. And so last week, what we talked about is that you are who Jesus says you are. And I hope that you spent some time, if you were here last week, you were given a card, and I hope you spent time reflecting on that card, who God says you are, who does Jesus say you are. It is so much more important than any other thought you have or any thought anyone else has about you. And today, we're going to conclude the series by talking about one final thing that I think plays a big part in our identity, and that is our appearance. The way that we look and the way that we carry ourselves and the way that we feel about ourselves is a major player in identity. Identity is so important. The way that you dress is a reflection to other people about who you think you are. You wear certain things to advertise the things that you're passionate about or to show people what you're passionate about or what you like. And your identity often comes in the way that you view yourself based off your appearance. And I think it's important to honor God with our appearance, but how you look should not define who you are. It's important to honor God with our appearance, but how you look should not define who you are. We're going to talk about this today, and I want to show you it through a text, our main text for the day. It comes from the Old Testament part of the Bible. Our Bible today for Christians is divided into two sections, the Old Testament, the New Testament. This is in the older part, and the older part is more difficult for us modern people to understand. There are certain parts in the Old Testament that make us kind of scratch our head, or we just kind of say, I don't know if I would do things that way, and it is a very different time period and a very different way of living. But all throughout the Old Testament, one of the reasons why I hold on to it is it gives us pictures of who God is. And we're going to get a little glimpse of something that God cares about today. And so if you're a regular at Next Level, you know what we're about to do. But if you're new, I want to invite you in on it. We want to show the text some honor. And so we're going to stand up to our feet and we're going to read the text loud and proud. We're going to show some honor to our text today. 1 Samuel 16:7, it says, "But the Lord said to Samuel, 'Do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart.'" Now that we've read the text, let's engage with God and ask him to speak to our hearts. Would you pray with me? God, we come before you right now, and we just ask that you remove every distraction from this room. We ask that nothing would distract our minds or turn our hearts away from hearing from you. We just ask, God, as we are just quiet and as we still our hearts, God, that you would speak to us. You'd speak to the depths of our souls. And God, we ask that you would just give us the courage to obey you no matter how hard it is. And God, I ask that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart will be acceptable in your sight. Oh Lord, you are my rock and my redeemer. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Your appearance matters. And let's not just pretend to be so super spiritual that we're here saying our appearance doesn't matter. Your appearance matters. If one of you would have shown up today with no clothes on, we would have kicked you out. Your appearance matters. All right? So you can pretend to be all super spiritual and think, oh, you know, it doesn't matter what I wear. It doesn't matter how my face looks. You can pretend to be that. But I don't think that is honestly how we feel. Your appearance, it literally matters. Your appearance is a part of your identity. Your appearance is a little bit about who you are. And I'm convinced that when your appearance matches who you are, you look impressive. I think when you match what's going on with your soul, you look impressive. And being impressive is not about the label of the clothes that you're wearing. It's not about how your face looks. Being impressive is when you dress, when you carry yourself with confidence because you know who you are on the inside, people are impressed by you. They're impressed by what they see, by the way that you carry yourself. But I'm also convinced that when your appearance doesn't match who you are, you're pretending. And so much of us is tempted to pretend to be something that we're not, because we don't know who we are. We don't know who God has called us to be. We don't know who our identity is. So I want to have a little bit of fun of this. I want to show you what I'm talking about. I want to show you how your identity does reflect who you are versus if it doesn't match who you are, you're pretending. And what we're going to do is I want to show you two images in a set. In the first image, I want you just to shout out who you think this person is. And I'm not going to give you any prompts. I'm not going to give you any clues. And there's no words on the screen. Just simply by the way this person is dressed, I want you to yell out what you think they are or who you think they are, okay? And then after that, we're going to show you a second picture. And the second picture is a pretender, someone that is obviously not who the first person is, okay? So you guys understand? You got that? This means yes. This means no. This means I'm asleep, okay? So give me some feedback. Okay, awesome. All right, our first picture. Just shout out what you think this is. Military, army, something, all of the above. That's great, all right? So if you saw this guy, if you were in danger, if a war broke out, if there was a terrorist attack, and you saw this guy walking down the street, you wouldn't say, oh, no, stop, you don't look legit. You would say, come help me. You look like you're trained. You look like you're a specialist. I trust you. Now, you don't know anything about this guy. This guy could be a plumber for all you know. But based off his appearance, right, we all said, yes, that guy looks the part. He is military. He's in the army. He looks legit. Now I want to show you a picture of a pretender. Now that's cute, but if you're in a situation where you need someone in the military, and you hear that the military's coming, and then you see this little kid walking in a military outfit, you're not going to feel secure. You're not going to say, oh yeah, like all my problems are solved. Here comes the army. No, you're going to say, stop pretending, dude. You're going to get us all killed. Like, it is okay to pretend to be something on Halloween when you're 5 years old, but when you're 30 and 40 years old, when you're pretending to be something that you're not, it just comes off as fake. Let's see another legit picture.
A winner.
The last hour, someone shouted out a cheater. So we are we're a house divided here. Okay, the point of this, even if you don't follow sports though, okay, even if you have no idea who that is under the helmet, the point is all of us see him and we say football player, right? He looks the part. And if this guy shows up at his job dressed like this, you say that's appropriate. That makes sense. You're wearing your work attire. You look like you're going to be a quarterback. You look like you're going to play in the NFL. You look like your part. Okay, now let's look at a pretender. Now, this isn't meant to be a political statement. I don't know who Mayor Rob Ford is, and I don't know the background of this picture. But when I Googled people who should not wear football jerseys, this image came up. I don't know. maybe it was like wear your favorite team's jersey to work. I don't know. But because we're all judgmental, if you showed up and the mayor was having a meeting and he was wearing a football jersey, you wouldn't think, all right, good, we're going to have a game. You would think, you look ridiculous. You're not matching who you are. Why? Because appearance matters. When you dress who you are, you look impressive. When you dress like others, you're pretending. Let's look at a legit person. Who's that?
Batman.
Now, here's something that is fascinating about this, okay? You guys got that answer right. What's fascinating, though, is that Batman is not a real person. It's a character that's come from the comic books, and Hollywood has made multiple versions of Batman. They've had the 60s campy TV show. We had the 80s movies. We had some movies in the 90s. We had various versions of Batman. This is actually Ben Affleck in a Batman suit, but none of you said Ben Affleck. Why? Because when you see that image, you think Batman, right? So in our minds, even though we know Batman is a fictional character, if you were being robbed or you needed a superhero and you saw this exact guy come at you, you would say, I'm saved. He's going to protect me because this is Batman. But let's look at the pretender. Same costume, right? Same costume. It's not like this is from a different era or this is like doesn't match. Like this guy is wearing a Batman costume while he's carrying his groceries. Like, but if you saw this guy coming to your rescue, you would say, I'm in trouble. Like you wouldn't think that I'm saved. You would say, give me another superhero because he doesn't match who he is, even though he's wearing a costume. All right, I got one more. Who's this? I'm shocked that Batman got a louder response than Jesus. I was expecting a little more from a church. Okay, okay. All right, you guys are thinking too much into it. The correct answer is Jesus. Let me hear you say Jesus.
Jesus.
Okay, now, we don't know if Jesus looks like this guy or not. We don't have any idea what his physical appearance was like. We don't know if he wore a robe with like the blue sash. Like, we don't know what he looked like. We don't have pictures of Jesus. But in our mind, in our culture, if you were watching TV or you were looking at a book and it talked about Jesus and you saw this exact image, you would say, that's Jesus. You would believe it because that looks like the part. But you take that same costume out of context, you put it on someone, and you say, they're pretending. Let's look at the pretender. If you see someone, this guy's in Times Square in a Jesus costume on one of those electronic hoverboards. And if you saw this, none of you would say, that's my Savior, you've come back for me. Let's go to heaven. Like, no one is fooled by that. And if that guy comes hovering over to you on his little hoverboard, and he's like, come with me, my child, to my house, you're going to be like, no. I'm not fooled by your costume. You're pretending, right? The way that you dress matters. The way that you carry yourself matters. Your appearance matters. And when your appearance matches who you are, you look impressive. But when your appearance doesn't match who you are, you're pretending. And so much of our identity comes out in our appearance. Our appearance is often a billboard into our soul that we allow people to know a little bit about who we are. This is why many of us wear sports jerseys. It's not because we can actually play the sports. It's because it's a part of us. It's a part of our identity. It's found in the teams we're cheering for. And so we wear our football jerseys, or for me, it's basketball jerseys. I have 12 Lakers jerseys, and I love them, and I still wear them, even though they stink. Why? Because it's a part of who I am. Or maybe you wear a suit to work, and you love wearing a suit, and so you wouldn't imagine wearing anything other than a suit. Why? Because it's a part of your identity. You're allowing people to see a little bit about who you are. Or maybe you're casual dressed, and you're like, hey, I don't want to work at a job where I have to wear a suit, and you like to be casual. That's letting people know a little bit about who you are. And our culture is obsessed with our appearance, because our culture is constantly telling us that who we are isn't good enough. In fact, who you are is constantly getting worse. So you need this cream, you need this surgery, you need this something to make you look younger and prettier and thinner, and you can't be happy with who you are because we're not happy with who you are. And every other commercial when you watch TV is about how to make ourselves look younger or thinner or better. Your appearance matters, yes, but it doesn't matter so much for the Christian, because a Christian says, yes, the appearance matters, but what matters more is what's going on in the inside of my soul. Your appearance, it truly does matter. If you are going for a job interview, you better dress the part. Don't show up for a business job in casual shorts. You're not going to get the job. If you are wanting a promotion at your job, you don't dress like how everyone else dresses. You dress like the promotion that you want to get. You start dressing up. You start becoming who you think you are to impress those people that can give you the raise. Like, your appearance, it matters. I saw this meme a little while ago, and it made me laugh. I don't know if it'll make you laugh at all, but it made me chuckle. It says, my boss told me to dress for the job you want, not the job you have. Now I'm sitting in a disciplinary meeting dressed as Batman. I thought that was way funnier than you did. But what's the point? The point is that your appearance, it truly does matter. If you're here today and you're a single guy and you don't want to be single, like you're single but you're ready to mingle, don't dress like a single guy, right? Like, you've got to put some thought into it, because what do most women want? Most women want a guy that has something going for his future, that he has his act together, that he's not living at home with his mom, that he has a job, that he can take care of himself. And so if you want to mingle, you got to start dressing the part. Why? Because your appearance matters. Statistics tell us that the average person makes a judgment about who we are within the first 3 seconds of meeting us. That is, someone meets you and they literally just define who you are based off your appearance. So don't come in here and say your appearance doesn't matter. Your appearance matters, but for the Christian, it's not ultimate. And this is where the message gets stopped in the world, because the world would say your appearance is everything. If you're getting old, hide the fact that you're old. If you're gaining weight, have a surgery or fix it. Like, you want to pretend to be something that you're not, because the world would tell you that all you are is your appearance. But for Christians, we are told that there's something more than our physical appearance, that there's something going on deep down inside of our souls. I want to show you this in our text for today. Our text is, like I said earlier, it's from the Old Testament part of the Bible. And if you were here last week, we talked about David versus Goliath, and we gave that story and the words that were spoken over David. Well, this is the prequel to David versus Goliath. This is the first encounter that we have of David. And what's going on is that the Israelites, they have a king, but the king is not following God. And so God takes his hand off of King Saul, and he tells a prophet by the name of Samuel to go find the new king. But he doesn't give him a lot of instruction. He simply says to him, he says, hey, I want to send you to a guy by the name of Jesse. And Jesse has 8 sons. And one of Jesse's 8 sons is going to be the next king. And that's all God tells Samuel. So Samuel shows up to this festivity, this feast, and this, like, party. He walks in, and he has to find Jesse. And right when he finds Jesse, he's like, hey, I need to find the rest of your sons. I need to see your sons. And Jesse's oldest son was a guy by the name of Eliab. And Eliab comes out, and when the prophet Samuel sees Eliab, he thinks to himself, this is the king. He's like, this guy looks like LeBron James, and LeBron James' nickname is the king. This guy must be our king. He's got broad shoulders. He's good looking. He fits the part. This is it. I found him. That was so easy, God. You told me he had 8 sons. I don't even have to worry about the other 7. First out the bat, I met the king. This is it. And he starts to have a little bit of confidence because he thinks he's found the king based off his appearance. And this part is so important. Look how God responds to Samuel. He says, but the Lord said to Samuel, do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Now, this is incredibly important because God passes over not just the first, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth son, but he passes over all 6 of them and points out that the last, the 8th son, is a little rugged shepherd boy named David. And he says, that's the king of Israel. Why? Because God was looking at his heart. And what does Scripture tell us about King David? It tells us that he was a man after God's own heart. He didn't look the part. He didn't fit the part of a king. But God cared about his heart. And there's 2 things in this Scripture that I want to make sure we don't miss. Number 1, it gives us some insight into humans. Samuel hears from God, and God says, the Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance. And I want to stop there just for a second, because I don't think we can dismiss this. I think, in fact, we need to embrace this. The fact is that people look at our appearance. So your appearance matters. Don't dismiss it. Don't think that, oh, my appearance doesn't matter. I don't have to work on myself. I don't have to improve myself. No, your appearance matters. People literally are forming opinions on you by the way that you carry yourself and the way that you're dressed. Your opinion matters, or your appearance matters. But the but is so important. The Lord looks at the heart. The Lord looks at the heart. A Christian's appearance should reflect who they are in God. A Christian's appearance should reflect who they are in God. So see, for most of people, they stop with what man sees. Man looks at the outward appearance. And because we know that, we spend so much time focusing on our clothes and our face and our bodies, and we worry about getting older, and we worry about gaining weight, and we stress about these things, and we spend so much time on the outward appearance because we know man looks at the outward appearance. The part, though, that we forget is that God doesn't look at the outward appearance. God looks at the heart. And ultimately, what God wants to do is not just have you look beautiful on the outside. God wants to change you from the inside. And so that leads us to a question that we need to wrestle with. We all know how to work on our physical appearance, but how do we work on our soul? Like, I don't have to stand up here and tell you how to work on your physical appearance. You just have to watch the Super Bowl tonight, and you'll see 97 commercials that'll tell you how to work on your physical appearance. They'll tell you, it's out there. We all know what we should do to make ourselves look better, to look thinner. Like, we all know that. Our society is addicted to it. But for the Christian, we can actually embrace things like getting older and say, hey, I don't have to worry about getting older, because getting older is just a reflection of what God's been doing inside of my soul. And I don't have to worry about keeping up with the Joneses and dressing as good as everyone else, because I just got to dress my part. I got to dress for my success. I got to dress for what God is doing inside of my soul. Your appearance, it matters, but at the end of the day, how do we work on our soul? Here's the truth of the matter. The truth of the matter is that one day when you die, someone's going to speak over your funeral. And they're not going to stand up and say, oh, she was so beautiful, the end. And they're not going to stand up and say, oh, he was so handsome, he was the best dressed person. What people are going to talk about at your funeral is the condition of your soul. How did you love God, and how did you love other people? And so we as Christians have to wrestle with this, because yes, your appearance matters, but ultimately what matters more is the fact that God looks at your heart. So how do we work on our soul? And to answer this question, I wanted to do something a little unique. I wanted to have someone come up and help me answer this. One of the most beautiful and confident people I know is my wife. And so I want to ask her to come up. This is my wife, Monica. Everyone say, hi, Monica.
Hi, Monica.
Monica, for those of you who don't know her, she is an incredibly confident person. In fact, when we first got married, I had this kind of messed up idea in my head. And I thought that, stereotypically, girls were insecure and guys had to be really secure and macho. And we got married, and I kept playing the part of the girl in the relationship. It took some time, and it took her building confidence in me and seeing how she saw me to where I started to believe who I was in God. And so Monica, from day one of our relationship, has been a confident person who knew who she was in Christ, and even more so than I did. And so I want her to answer some questions on identity, especially when it comes to appearance. And so we have some questions that we're going to wrestle through together. And question number one is, knowing our identity is in Christ is one thing, but understanding how that practically changes the way we live is another. How does knowing your identity in Christ impact the way that you see yourself?
Thanks. So if I had to answer that from myself as a human flesh, it would be with this meme. I wish I were as fat now as I was the first time I thought I was fat. Because every day in the mirror, that's what, like me, what I think. Not what Jesus thinks. We live in a culture just bombarded with images and memes and Pinterest and celebrities that whisper in our ear that we are not enough, that we're not skinny enough, pretty enough, strong enough, whatever. But if your mind stays in that camp, you're going to drown there. It will literally suffocate you. I can get waxed, it grows back. I can dye my hair, the gray comes back. I can dye it, my weight goes back up when I'm done. When I hold on to the truth that my identity is in Christ, none of those things matter. It's not my outward appearance. I can be free because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, regardless of the changes that I go through. His truth never changes or fades. And when my hope is in that and not my clothes and not my makeup or if I straighten my hair or put it up high, it just changes how I see myself. So that's where my identity would be. We all have sin and ugliness in our souls, but God is in the business of redemption. He can make all things beautiful. We can't change the condition of our souls, but God can and does. When we live for him, he changes the inside. He changes our soul. Proverbs 31:30 says, "Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised." Knowing that my identity is in Christ brings complete freedom. It brings relief. There isn't the pressure to be the skinniest, the prettiest, have the newest fashion. It simply means that I can set my eyes on Jesus, focus on that, and use what he has given me for his glory and know that I am enough.
I love that verse. It is talking about an ideal wife. It's found in Proverbs, and it is directed more towards women, but I think the verse is applicable to anyone because the point of the verse is charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting. And what do we focus on most? We focus on someone's charm or we focus on someone's beauty, but the scripture tells us that that stuff is fleeting. Translation, there are no good-looking people at the old folks' home. You might be the most beautiful person in this room, but eventually you're going to look like everyone else. We all get wrinkly. We all get gray. We all get a little chubby. We all age and get worse. And so beauty is fleeting. And so we spend so much time trying to hang on to something that is fleeting. And God says there's a better way. Instead of trying to hold on to something that is fleeting, work on your relationship with God. Why? Because beauty is fleeting. It's leaving you. It's going to go away. But your soul lasts forever. So what if we spent more time pouring into our soul than we did worrying about our physical appearance? If you're looking for a main idea to write down, it's simply this: looks fade, but the soul is forever. Looks fade, but the soul is forever. Question two, how can knowing our identity in Christ help us not compare ourselves to others?
It's a great question. Before I became a Christian, I was desperate to fit in. I wanted acceptance. I didn't grow up in a Christian family. I didn't become a Christian until my sophomore year of high school. And so you can look at my freshman year of high school and compare it to my sophomore year of high school, and it's like night and day. It has nothing to do with me. It has nothing to do with what I wore or who my friends were or how I acted. It was completely because of Jesus. My friends were richer, more athletic, prettier. They got most school spirit and most athletic. I got most involved. There were differences. But it didn't really bother me. I could have drowned in that comparison trap. With Jesus, my identity shifted that year. I wasn't craving for acceptance because Jesus had accepted me. I wasn't wanting to fit in or get attention because a king had rescued me from that, and I had a seat at his table. And that's huge. That's huge for a woman. It's huge for a high school girl. Jesus is just in the business of redemption. I also didn't date much in high school or college until this stud came along.
Hello.
I definitely could have fallen into insecurity and doubt as my friends dated, even if it wasn't the right guy. I could have settled. But knowing that my identity was in Christ gave me a reason not to fill a void, because that void was filled. I wasn't waiting for a guy or even Rob to fill it. I didn't need him to. Jesus had filled that insecurity and that void. Also, as a Christian, it's not just about comparing ourselves to other women or the world. It's not about me as an individual. As part of the family of God, we see how we truly need each other as the body of Christ. Insecurity and the comparison trap do nothing, absolutely nothing, for the kingdom of God. It is not a competition. When we have confidence in who God created us to be as individuals, we don't compete, we celebrate. We live life with each other. And knowing that your identity is in Christ brings so much freedom instead of weight and instead of burden.
It's really good. I'm not comparing, but they've clapped after every answer you've given and not after anything I've said. I'm not comparing. I'm not insecure. Just stating. Yes. Here's the thing, though. I want to make sure that you don't miss what she said. The comparison trap, it is causing us to miss out on what God has created us to do. The truth of the matter is that God didn't give you everything you need to be everything in this world. He left some stuff out. And the way that you are complete is when you work with other people to form the body of Christ, to work with other people who are strong where you're weak. And we spend so much time saying, I wish I could look like her. I wish I could be like him. I wish I had these gifts and talents. And you are robbing yourself of what God wants to do in your life. Because you were created to be you. And when you know who you are, then you have security to be yourself 100% of the time. And you're not worried about competing with other people. They get the freedom to be them. And you can see how they help you, and you can see how you help them. And together, we can change the world. I loved your answer with that. Question 3. Does knowing your identity in Christ mean you don't work to improve your physical appearance?
I wish. Not anything is that easy. Scripture says in 1 Corinthians 6:19, do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. So there's no room for opinions in this answer. The scripture is clear, and boy, is this super convicting for me personally. My biggest struggle in life is with discipline, with eating and self-control. I'm at the heaviest I've ever been in my life, and that's humbling and exhausting. But it's not okay for me to stay there. You better believe that every morning I have to lay that down at God's feet. It is a struggle. I go to the Y, I drink shakes, I've read books, I have a master's degree, I know what the right answers are. I went to my doctor and she said all my blood work was great. This was like last month. And she was like, you're just a healthy, obese person. And I was like, that's not a thing. That's not, and it's not motivation to go to the gym. Like, good. And the scripture is clear. Our bodies are not our own. They are temporary and should be used for the glory of God. I have to confess and try again every single day. And I have to do that because my body was bought at a price by Jesus. I work physically and mentally every day to improve my body, not because of society and not because I'm insecure, but because the scripture says that. My body should be used to bring God glory and not myself.
Question 4. How do I focus on using my body for God's glory and not my own? And this is something that I want to make sure we pay attention to, because in our minds, when we do the hard work to have the best body or the best appearance, it leads us to feel pride. And so if you work really hard and you get abs and you look great, you go to the beach, you feel pride about your work. But ultimately, the hard work we do in our bodies to look our best shouldn't lead us to feel great about ourselves. It should lead us to give God the glory. And so how do we do that? How do we focus on using my body for God's glory and not my own?
Sure. I've said it already this morning, but I think especially for women, if you don't focus on using your body for God's glory, you're going to drown in a life of insecurity and comparison. It's a steep, dangerous slope. And if I depended on my looks and my figure and my weight, my abilities, I would be disappointed every day. I would let him down. I would let myself down. I would let my kids down. And it's not a place I want to camp out. There's always going to be someone skinnier and stronger and prettier. So why sit in that comparison trap? Why not focus my eyes on Jesus? So when I find my identity in him, even though I can't see him physically in front of me, and although in the mirror I can see this every day, I mean, it's a struggle. Everything Satan in the world has to offer are things that I already have in Christ. I don't need to hear that. I can acknowledge those lies every day, but it's still going to be there gnawing at me and whispering in my ear, causing me to forget who I am. And we often look past the good gifts he's given us. I read a blogger by the name of Michelle Lindsay, and she said this about our bodies. It's in a blog entitled, Beauty is the Beast. Did God give us mouths for lipstick or to praise him, express love, and talk to each other? Our noses for holding up fashionable sunglasses or for smelling the flowers and the ocean air? Were our breasts meant to defy gravity or keep our babies alive? Does it really matter if we have firm eyelids with no wrinkles? We have the gift of sight, which is miraculous. Were our faces created to be smooth or show evidence of wisdom? And that list can go on. You have to balance this purpose with our previous question, though. You have to intentionally use what God has given you to bring him glory while maintaining that bottom line of our body is a temple. And so it's a tension that you really have to balance. And you have to stop allowing those verbs that society pours on us, like enhance and whiten and lose and lift, to praise and love and forgive and worship, because those are the things that are going to transform us, not the world's words. The Bible doesn't talk about Jesus being handsome or on trend. It talks about Jesus' life shouting grace and love and forgiveness. And like you mentioned earlier, those are the things that are going to be said about us, nothing else. And so we're a part of that story that Jesus lived. We're a part of his story. And our focus needs to be on those things that bring God glory and not us.
Question five is insecurity. Is not feeling secure in your own skin. False security is feeling too secure in your own skin. Does being secure in Jesus mean I should wear nothing but a Speedo to the beach?
Nope. Whole bunch of nope. One of our previous pastors said from the pulpit, zip it up, sweet lady, and we've always joked about that over the years. But I can stand in front of you and truthfully tell you that I don't struggle with insecurity. And I give God the glory for that because I have 265 pounds of insecurity to worry about.
Did you say your weight out loud?
I did.
Wow.
Just put it out there. It doesn't define me. And I don't say that pridefully either because I'm, as a pastor's wife, as a friend to many, I know that it's a common struggle for women. But I also don't struggle with a false security because of Jesus. Everything that I have and have been given is to draw people back to him and to allow Jesus to be who he created me to be and bring him glory. I also don't overcompensate to distract people from my obesity and from my sin issues. I don't show more cleavage to flaunt what I got. I don't also wear a muumuu and just live in a land of woe is me, I'm overweight. That's not an option as a Christ follower. I don't ever want to distract people from Jesus. So I want to balance these things. I want to be secure in Christ without having a false sense of security. I don't want to make it about me. In 1 Peter 3, it says, your beauty should not come from outward adornment, such as elaborate hairstyles and the wearing of gold jewelry or fine clothes. Rather, it should be that of your inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. So it's not about the legalism of what you should wear and what you shouldn't wear. Y'all, I sell leggings in some churches. That's not allowed. That's not a thing. But if you're comfortable wearing leggings or if you're comfortable wearing, the first question said, a Speedo to the beach, then by all means do that. But what's your motivation? Is it to draw attention to you or draw attention to Jesus? I care about fashion. I sell it. I love jewelry. I wear makeup. But it absolutely doesn't define me. When I got ready this morning, I was like, I'm just going to put my hair up and just kind of go as I am, but that wouldn't really be fair to you or all of you because I wanted to dress the part. And the point is just to spend more time on your soul. And did you just catch what that verse says? It says, I don't know about you. I want a soul with unfading beauty. I love the idea of a quiet spirit. With twin five-year-olds, a quiet spirit's not a common thing for me. But that's what I want, and so why not pursue that instead of what society wants me to pursue? It says, our world is so often in chaos, but a person who finds their identity in Jesus finds rest for their souls. And I just want to end with, in Genesis, Abraham knows God, and he calls him by the name El Shaddai, which means all-sufficient God. So when you find your identity in an all-sufficient God, you will not be disappointed, and you will have the rest that this talks about, because God's beauty never fades.
One of my favorite things to hear you say to women that you're like consulting with clothes is you'll often encourage them to dress for their body type. And often there's this temptation because we do feel these insecurities and we want to be better, is that we say, I've got to squeeze into this pair of jeans because it's a lower size and I'd rather have the confidence that I got into them than wear something comfortable. And I love what you're saying about this, that yes, we should work on our bodies and be the best that we can, but at the end of the day, what ultimately we're focused on is the condition of our souls. And the verse that you just read, it says beauty should not just come from outward adornment, that the most beautiful thing you should bring to the table is your soul. And that when people notice you and spend time with you, they may have judged you based off your physical appearance, but after they get to know you, they're going to get to know the beauty of your soul. And have you ever met someone who wasn't attractive when you first met them? And you thought maybe they're not the most well-kept, and maybe they're not the most beautiful, maybe they don't have the nicest clothes, but when you spent time with them, you were drawn and you wanted to spend more time with them. Why? Because they had a beautiful soul. And ultimately, as important as appearance is in our culture, what matters more is how you love God and how you treat other people. It's the condition of your soul. One final main idea that if you're taking notes, you can write down. It's simply this. Beauty is in the eye of the beholder, but no one can deny a beautiful soul. Beauty, it is in the eye of the beholder. And what that means is some people are going to think something's beautiful and other people are going to disagree with it. So we're not here to please other people or get other people's approval. What we are here to do is to have a beautiful soul for the glory of God. And I think this is incredibly important for us, especially if you're here today and you're a parent and you have a daughter at home. So much of our culture, the praise that we give to little girls is simply all about their beauty and how pretty they are and how great their face is and you look so nice. And as parents, we've got to work really hard to find ways to compliment little girls based on other things than their face and their dress. That you've got to work on complimenting their soul. So when you see a little girl having a behavior that you love, compliment that. You are so funny. You're so kind. You've got a great spirit inside. Because our world is causing us to think that our only worth is based off our face or our appearance. But it's not. You are worth so much more. You were bought at a price. You are a new creation in Christ Jesus. So the question is, how is your soul? Here's the application. And the application is simply what you can do with this. Do you spend as much time working on your soul as you do your physical appearance? And here's how you can work on your soul. This week, spend 5 days focusing on one verse from today's talk to reflect on the condition of your soul. So I provided all the verses that we went over in YouVersion. So pick one of them, one of them that resonated with you. Spend time 5 days this week thinking about it, meditating on it, even praying it out loud and getting this truth inside of you. Work on the condition of your soul. Is your soul as beautiful as you want to be on the outside? Work on your soul. Will you guys help me thank Monica for being here? To close today, what we're going to do is, in just a second, I'm going to pray, and then Levi is going to come up, and I asked him a few weeks ago to learn a song, and it's a song that I heard a handful of weeks ago on the radio, and when I heard it, I thought the words fit perfectly for this idea that we're going at, that we are bought at a price, that we're so much more than our outward appearance, and so we're going to pray, and then Levi is going to come lead us in this song. Will you pray with me? God, we thank you so much for this day. We thank you for the fact that we are more than just skin deep. God, we thank you that you were bought, that you bought us at a price. And we ask, God, right now in Jesus' name, that you would just convict our hearts and our minds. God, it is so easy to focus on what we can see, and what we can see is wasting away. And so, God, as we spend so much time trying to look thinner and younger and better, God, would you help us to spend even more time working on our souls? And God, would you just stir something up? Would you remove the ugliness of our souls, and would you replace it with your truth? God, would you just do something immeasurably more than we could ask or imagine? Would you help us to be people who love each other well and have confidence in you? We thank you for what you're going to do and how you're going to do it. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope you've enjoyed and learned from today's podcast. If you'd like to connect with us further, you can check out our website at nextlevelchurch.net or find us on Facebook or Twitter.